Isn't it great to come together again and worship and pray and sing? Tally, one of my daughters, she just said, "Yeah, Dad, you're tired, aren't you?" In other words, calm it down. That's what that means. Haven't our kids, what blessings our children are. So, today's sermon message is all blended in as part of our communion meal together. So there's quite a lot of words. It's quite a wordy morning. But hopefully these words will still be inspirational. And there's going to be a testimony as well partway through. So raising doubts. Can we be a Christian and have doubts about God? Martin, briefly before the service, said, maybe we could rephrase that a little bit. Sorry if I don't get the exact word in here. But actually, can you even be a Christian? What was it? What did you say, Martin?
Can you be a Christian without doubts?
Yeah, do you want to say the microphone?
Can we be a Christian without doubting God?
Yeah. So, in other words, doubts are a very real reality. You know, who believes that once we give our lives to Jesus, our wonderful, it just becomes magical, doesn't it? Everything's sorted, our health, our bank balances, everything, poof, it's magical. That's reality, isn't it? No? Oh, what it is for me. No, it's not. No, it isn't. So doubts are very real. We all have very real doubts. So let's pray. And then we'll go through unpacking a little bit, hopefully something that will be helpful this morning. So thank you, Jesus, again, that we can worship you, and we're going to continue in our worship with unpacking a little bit about doubts. Can we be a Christian and have doubts about you? Is it healthy to doubt? How can we possibly doubt? Actually, we are really doubting. Look at what's happening in the world. And you call yourself a God of love? So within all these kind of contexts, I pray this morning that you'll be with us. We carry with us very real realities. The journey here, the weekend that's just taken place, the week that's just gone before, and maybe a sense of trepidation to the week ahead. We all have real life, moments, emotions. We are human beings. I pray that in this space, in this moment, here at Wootton Baptist Church, for those who are at home watching on the live stream, and if you're listening to this at a future time, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be with us in that peaceful way. You would help us to have a moment of authenticity, being real, but also to be gently led by you, to bring some of the things out into the open. Not in a judgmental way, not in a critical way or hurtful way, but in a way that is loving and nurturing. Thank you, Jesus, that you know the depths of our hearts. You know those things that we are really grappling with. And thank you, Jesus, that you don't discard or chuck us away or discredit, but you truly do want to be in that living, real relationship with each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. Okay, so just, I've got the notes on here. I haven't got a big script, so I thought I'd do it a bit different. I'm not just watching any random shows. I've got notes, okay, just to clarify. Can you imagine that? Yeah, I'm just watching something as I'm talking and preaching. So the Lord's Supper, we are here. We're going to remember and we're going to reconcile. So just a little bit about what we're doing this morning. So words of reproach, including the message, some sort of message on doubt. Then we're going to go to words of thanksgiving, including a testimony and a hymn. Then the sharing of the meal, and then prayer after communion. So the words of approach. We gather at this table to celebrate life. The life of God in the world. Made flesh and blood in Jesus, embodied in us. We come to remember the body that was broken. The hands that touched the untouchable, healed the hurting, and did no violence. The feet that got dusty along city streets and at the lake shore. The arms that welcomed the stranger and embraced the outcast. The legs that entered homes and synagogues and danced at celebrations. The eyes that blazed against injustice, knew how to cry and saw the potential in everyone. The belly that shared table with unexpected people and shook with laughter. The lips that wove stories and painted pictures of a new community and a better world. This blessed body that was broken, abused, and rejected. We come to remember, for we are called to be the body of Christ. As you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you. And not only at this table, but in our life together, may we embody your kingdom and remember your life in the world. Doubts? Original doubt. I found this picture because there's a little bit of uncertainty. Was it actually Satan in the Garden of Eden? It talks about the serpent. A lot of our Christian understanding is it actually was Satan in the form of a serpent. So apologies, if it's just an interesting picture that kind of captures that notion of in the Garden of Eden. Original doubt, the serpent. So the doubt conceived in the Garden of Eden. Have I got a spelling mistake going on here? No? All okay? Okay. The serpent cast doubt on God's character and goodness. So in the Garden of Eden, God created the world and everything in it. Adam and Eve, he created and formed. Perfect harmony and unity between God and created beings in his image. But the serpent cast that doubt on God's character and goodness. That doubt, a tool to move Eve from a position of belief. Oh, it should be belief, not believed. Belied. What's belied? What is belied? Belied. It should be belief, apologies, to one of disobedience. Establish doubt as Satan's primary weapon. It's a calculated assault on God's trustworthiness. So Satan's role throughout history involves rebellion against God. With Jesus' death serving as a climactic revelation of the Father's character. Of course, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would perish, have a rubbish life, will be depressed, full of anxiety, and will not want to exist anymore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, last week we talked about the resurrected bodies. What is that going to look like? Our resurrected bodies. Interesting. So the main themes of doubt in the Bible. It's quite hard to read, apologies. That is very hard to read. In fact, you can't really read it. What does that say? Right. Spiritual weakness. Failure to trust the Lord's reliability and power. These are the main themes of doubt in the Bible. Uncertainty rather than denial. So receive correction without severe rebuke. Think of Thomas. Honest inquiry can motivate deeper understanding of faith. And the Bereans with Paul. That was an interesting conversation. Historic origins, the serpent leading Adam and Eve to rebel and disobey. Therefore, the doubt, an aspect of sin. So across the Testament, so God's promises and lived experiences. You think of Abraham, Moses, and the Psalms. Lots of questions, lots of doubts. And then Jesus versus Satan. Satan weaponizes doubt to sever trust. Jesus demonstrates unshakable faith. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Yes. So types of doubt. You've got factual, emotional, and volitional. So factual, concerns evidence for God's existence. Have you ever questioned facts? Really? The Bible? Blech. Is that really true? Evidence for God's existence. Emotional arises when feelings fluctuate with circumstances. Who's been so sure of their faith? And, you know, rocking up to church, praying, singing, worshipping. But then a disorientating dilemma comes along, sidetracks us, and we think, loads of doubts come. So emotional and volitional occurs when your will conflicts with God's will. And we read that all throughout Scripture. That's the volitional. So you're... response depends on which you're experiencing. This is just a surface level kind of unpacking here. Genuine questions typically find satisfaction after exploring answers. But if we're choosing to doubt, tend to raise new objections to every answer given. Nothing really lands. There's that wallowing in the doubt. But if your doubt stems from unresolved questions, pursue answers earnestly. Check the sources. Have due diligence. Come alongside people. Get these questions out into the open. Pray. Seek God. Study why the Bible deserves credibility. We talked a couple of weeks ago about if Jesus is credible, then Jesus speaks. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If Jesus is credible, dot, dot, dot. That was spoken a couple of weeks ago. Volitional doubt typically roots itself in a desire to live contrary to to Scripture's teaching. Well, surely all paths lead to God. And again, if Jesus is credible, then actually it is a narrow path. Because the only way to the Father is through him, Jesus Christ. Not my words, they're Jesus' words. Credibility. If emotional doubt troubles you, trust God with your whole heart rather than relying on your own understanding. And acknowledge him in all your ways so that he directs your path. Proverbs 3:5-6. Doubt can deepen faith when addressed appropriately, but left unattended, it becomes spiritually dangerous. The key is moving through doubt toward greater conviction, not settling into it as a permanent stance. Wallowing. We can become cut off, isolated, and maybe even seek random and weird and wacky justifications that are so far removed from Scripture just to justify our own doubts, to satisfy our doubts. We lose sight of the conviction and authenticity of a living faith expressed through God's word. Let's continue with our words of approach. As you, risen Christ, remember our lives, so we remember you. And not only at this table, but in our life together, may we embody your kingdom and remember your life in the world. We come now to words of thanksgiving. It's good to give thanks. Oh God, shall we read this together? Oh God, we give thanks for this bread and wine, a timeless reminder of the flesh and blood life of Jesus, broken, rejected, yet unstoppable. In Christ we see a life that could not be ended by death, a purpose that could not be silenced by the forces of violence, a desire deep within you for the transformation of the world. We're going to invite Claire now to come and share a testimony of living faith expressed and outworked.
Thank you. I'm not going to promise not to cry, all right? So just bear with me when I do. We're all on a journey, aren't we? And I've had a particularly challenging journey recently. It started, my journey from this point of view started about 18, 19 years ago when I was going through a particularly horrendous divorce and had three teenagers, one daughter ill, and all the rest of it. And the church at that time really stood by me, lifted me and carried me through, led by David and Margaret Barter, who a lot of you know, and Judy was there as well, and she, you know, she really helped through because she'd been through similar. So I'd gone through that, met Jeff, and from that point of view the rest is history, but we have five teenagers between us to bring up. And not saying that divorce doesn't have an effect on children, it does. But we are so proud of all five of our children now, through what they've been through, and how they are now is God's grace, his absolute grace. So anyway, we were both impoverished by divorce, because that's the other thing it does to you. It strips you of all your assets. But that's fine. We had each other and we had our kids. But we had to make ends meet. We had to get 5 kids up and running in life. And so we both had 2 jobs. I think at one time I had 3, working from, 6 in the morning till midnight. And then up again at 6, 12, 15 hour, day stretches. We also had 5 lodgers at one point. As each child left, a lodger took over so we could help them through university and then beyond. We managed. It's hard work, but we managed. We finally got all of them through, all of them into adult life, all of them such blessings, as I say. And it was ready for us. Ready for time for us now. So we up sticks in Reading, which is not a place that we are particularly tied to. It's not the easiest place to live in. And we wanted some R&R and some time. We came here and we have been so blessed. Our home, the town, this church, our friends. We have felt so settled and I have felt so happy that God led us here. My job, everything was just a blessing, absolute blessing. 2 months ago, I was diagnosed with cancer of the kidney and the ureter. And I thought, why would God do this to me? You know, after all this time, we've worked so hard to get to this point. We are so happy. It just seemed cruel. We had at that time 3 grandchildren and 1 daughter who was 37 weeks pregnant. And we had to tell them I got cancer with this grandchild born. And you don't know what the outcome's going to be when you've got cancer. You know, the scale is there to there, and you have no idea where you're sitting on that scale. And that is really scary. And it's at that point you go, God, why? What? What's going on? But God has a plan. Jan Motson advised me to look for God's blessings in this dark time every day. Boy, have there been some. Some big, some small. I'll just name a few. Going through my divorce, the big song at the time that got me through, and I had it on replay all the time, was, Oh God, You Never Let Go, You Never Let Go of Me. That song was played at New Wine that year. I just had it on repeat all the time. Don't let go of me. You're not going to let go of me. I'm going to get through this. And I did. The first Sunday after the diagnosis, came to church, sat over there. I think I was near Zoe. And I hadn't heard that song for years. What song did they sing? That one. That's a God instance. That is God saying, I've got this. I'm with you. So that was the first one, and I thought, Jan, you're right. And then there have been so many others. I have always loved the word grace since my divorce. Amazing grace. Any joy that I have is because of God's amazing grace. I came into it in my wedding for Jeff. You know, that was the song I came into the service in. It just means so much, that word, grace. As I went for the appointment to the consultant, the first one to say, right, this is the plan, this is what you've got, this is, you know, this is what we're going to do about it and all the rest of it. Sat in that room and it was all very daunting. They were very nice to me. And you know when someone's really nice to you and make sure you're okay, it's because they're going to give you bad news. Over the desk of the consultant, in big, bold letters, with nothing else written round it or anything, was the word grace. That's a God instance. That's God telling me He's here. He's with me. Another time, which just seemed incredible, was my daughter works in oncology. She's a nurse. She works in oncology in France. got this diagnosis and she couldn't work there. She just said, Mum, I've got to go off sick, because she's seeing people at the end stages, palliative care. And she just saw me in every patient. So she signed herself off sick and came home. Because it was a last minute booking with EasyJet, she, and they always overbook, it's been in the news this week, they always overbook, got to the airport on the way back and there was no seat for her. Because they'd overbooked and she was one of the last in, so first out. They said, just give it time, we'll see at the end, blah, 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 blah. So she did, she just sat and waited and thought, oh, well, you know, so be it, they'll put me up in a hotel overnight, that's okay. Anyway, they got her a seat. That seat happened to be next door to a consultant urologist who had been at a urology conference in London that weekend. He not only was a urology consultant, he worked in the hospital she worked in Lyon. And he was very happy to talk her through what possibilities were with my type of cancer and what to expect, and was very reassuring. That is a God instance. That's God saying, I'm with you. So in the little things, you know, then you've only got to look at a flower that's blooming or raindrops or anything like that, and you see God in it. And it just made me think, actually, they're there all the time. I just didn't notice them. So I'm going to keep looking for God's blessings every single day. And these blessings have been a real blessing to others, I hope, because I've been able to share them with you guys, but I've always been able to share them with our non-Christian friends and family. And some of them will say, oh, yeah, that's nice for you and all the rest of it, but it's sowing those seeds. These things aren't coincidences. There can't be that many of them. It's got to be a God instance. I have no doubt in my mind. I even got my sister to church for the first time since our wedding on Easter Sunday. Now, that was a miracle in herself. I've been aware of everyone here and everyone all over the place praying for me. I've even had humanists, my sister's friends who are humanists, praying for me. Now, that one needs unpacking, because I don't know who they thought they were praying to, but that's another sermon, Andy. But yeah, that need for spirituality is there in everyone, isn't it? They're always searching. So I'm going to continue to drip feed. I'm going to continue to sow seeds for as long as I've breath in my mouth. Going into theatre and having to say goodbye to Jeff, I'd said goodbye to the girls the day before and just, you know, by video call, and saying goodbye to Jeff as he left me in the hospital to go to theatre. I lay there in there, you know, being put to sleep, and I just said, well, God, it's you and me now, just you and me now. We can do this. And I absolutely felt him holding my hand. I didn't know what the outcome was going to be of this disease, but at that point, it didn't seem to matter. I felt so close to God. And I thought, actually, you could take me now, but I am not going to be separated from you ever. I'll never have to say goodbye to you. I have no doubt in my mind. So the world's worst case scenario, that was it. I'd never wake up. But that's not the case. It's not a worst case scenario. I'm going to be with God, and he'll sort the rest. I'd like to see my grandchildren and grow up and everything. But yeah, there's a prize. I'm never going to have to say goodbye to him. So I'm in pain. I'm tired. I'm recovering. I'm without a kidney. I feel wounded, but I also feel so very close to God, and I'm forever grateful and massively blessed. And just an update, which I know the house group knows, I had a call from my consultant this week confirming the biopsy results. They have managed to take all the cancer away. So, you know, there may be some chemo or whatever else, but the cancer is gone. They took it all away. It wasn't in the lymph glands. So thank you so much for your prayers and your continued prayers. And, yeah, just blessings. And then This was sent to me this morning by Judy, and I thought when I read it after I'd done this, I thought this was very relevant. Holy Philip, Holy Spirit, fill my mouth with laughter and my lips with rejoicing. Let the joy of the Lord be my strength this day and every day. Let the peace and the delight of your presence change every bit of my day to day. Beam on me with love and let my life be like radiant sunshine to all who I meet. God, thank you for your amazing grace.
Wow. Claire, can you stay here? Where's Jeff? Jeff, would you mind coming up? Then let's pray for Jeff and Claire. Thank you so much for sharing. That was spoken so well. And what an absolute living faith that is alive and real and authentic. There's so much more that is going on. This is just a kind of bullet points, isn't there? And there's so much that goes on with the churn, with the wrestling, with the doubts, with the frustrations, with the emotions. But through it all, you're choosing to go, I'm going to put my hope and trust. You're choosing to listen to others who are going, you know what, maybe you just need to seek that blessing. The blessings are there. And you're going, okay, I'm going to do this. So thank you so much. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for Jeff, for Claire. Thank you, Lord, for Claire's journey and Jeff's journey, ongoing journey. Lord, may you bless them so much. Continue to strengthen them. Continue to give them that love, grace, and mercy, and surrendering to you and to trust in you. Lord, we pray for that continued healing. Thank you for the amazing testimony, Lord Jesus, of you at work in and through this awesome couple. Lord, thank you for this authentic life that is being shaped by you. Amen. 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 Oh, God bless you so much. I'm sure if you have questions, they'll be happy to listen, to talk, to share, and to advise. Thank you so much. Really amazing. Come on, come on. So, now I know. That for people, there might be people here or who are listening going, well, that's great for Claire. What about me? God hasn't come through in my life. I don't feel that God's alive and real. I don't believe that God's God of love because he hasn't sorted me out. Whoopee-doo that Claire's been healed, but I haven't. And that's the stark reality of who we are. For some, it's a real journey of faith, and it's real and it's authentic. Choosing to worship despite the pain, despite the hurts. For some of us, our life has been misery. Maybe we're stuck in that wallowing state where we're so blinded to what God is doing. We're becoming defined by all those things that he's not doing. And we're wallowing away. And we're becoming dead. Our faith is non-existent. And our attitude and approach to God is one of distance. And it's not healthy. Understanding miracles. Great is the mystery of godliness. If what the Bible says about Jesus Christ is right and true, then of necessity it is something that transcends human intellect and reason. Quite right, you say. I cannot understand miracles. Of course you cannot. No one can understand a miracle. It would cease to be a miracle if you could. I cannot grasp the supernatural. Most certainly you cannot. There never has been a man or woman who could understand the doctrine of the incarnation. I think of the incarnation, I take my stand on the side of the Apostle Paul who said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." My mind is too small to understand it. My intellect cannot span the infinities and the immensities and the eternities. My small thinking and reason and logic are not big enough to see or to take in such a conception as the self-emptying and the humiliation of the Son of God. I do not claim to understand it. Who could understand an idea as the virgin birth? It is beyond understanding. It is beyond reason. Who can understand the doctrine of the two natures of Christ? Unmixed, remaining separate, unmingled, and yet both there, still only one person. We cannot understand the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we should never try to do so. The claim of the gospel is that it is in a realm that is beyond human reason and understanding. It is the gift of God. That is why, instead of reasoning around and around and around in circles and trying to span and grasp the infinite and the everlasting, I say, go to him. A thought to ponder. If what the Bible says about Jesus Christ is right and true, then of necessity, it is something that transcends human intellect and reason. Amen. So we continue these words. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, we thank you for the acceptance and tenderness with which you have transformed our shame and dignity and loved us into life. We thank you for cherishing the potential in us and for calling us to be partners in your vision for this world. As we eat the bread and drink the wine, we call on your Spirit to come alongside us so that together, in the company of your Spirit, we may give ourselves afresh to the task of remembering you, of being the body of Christ, of living your life in this world. Amen. May we stand and sing just with our voices, Blessed Assurance. So let us drink together. Before we do, I'm just going to pray, and then we'll drink together. Thank you so much, Jesus Christ, that you are truly Saviour of the world. Thank you, Jesus, that we can remember you. And in this act of intimacy, remembering you as Lord and Saviour, that we can have that hope restored. All those emotions, doubts, confusions, everything else, when our eyes are fixed on you, that tension diminishes somewhat. And maybe in some of our lives, they are healed and have gone to be no more. But many of us are still grappling and struggling. But thank you, Jesus, that with you at the center, with you as our focus, there is that hope and that peace that transcends all human understanding. Thank you, Jesus, that you are credible, that you are authentic, you are real and living. Thank you, Jesus, for the testimony of Claire and Jeff, and for others who are choosing to still worship despite, who are choosing to listen to trusted friends and loved ones despite, who are choosing to surrender and to put you first, despite. So, Lord, you know us deeply, intimately, inside out. And I pray that for all of us, that we would trust you that little bit more, that we would surrender and choose to trust you despite. So as we drink, thank you, Jesus, that you cleanse us, you restore us, and that you haven't given up on us, despite our failings and our wrongdoings. We live for you, Jesus. Amen. Let's drink together. And let's pray these prayers. Thank you, team, so much for serving as you have. That's not the prayer, sorry. But we can pray that. We have taken bread and wine into our bodies. Now may these hands be the hands of Christ in the world. May they do no violence. We have taken bread and wine into our bodies. May these eyes see those who are overlooked. May these ears listen to those who are unheard. May these voices be raised to voiceless, lest our songs of praise be empty. We have taken bread and wine into our bodies. May these feet take us where Christ leads. And may these hearts and minds be open to your spirit. Christ has remembered us. May we remember Christ. Amen.